You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. My name is Keith Pompey, host of Locked On 76ers. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, November the 5th. As you know, I also cover the 76ers for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philly Daily News, and Philly.com. You can read all my stuff by going to Philly.com or purchasing a newspaper. And just to let you know, this is the only podcast that comes out 5 days a week talking about the 76ers. To open, I want to talk about the Sixers 122-97 loss last night to the Brooklyn Nets here in New York. I pause because I expected to see a blowout win. I didn't expect to cover a blowout loss. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, no one outside of the Brooklyn Nets. Well, I take that back. I had a couple friends who told me that they thought maybe the Sixers lose because they didn't have faith in them. But we'll get into that on the second segment. So in the first segment, I want to talk about the game. I want to talk about how poor the Sixers played. A lot of it had to do with people not giving Joel Embiid the ball. The second segment, I want to just dissect why certain people out there were right and why they thought the Sixers would lose. And thirdly, I just want to talk about where did the 76ers go from here. You know, I just got to find out what can the 76ers do to move on and to go from here. Because look, right now, this team is 6-5. They won all six games at home, and they lost all five games on the road. Right? So this is something that we really must address. Something we're going to talk about, you know, because this is crazy. But first, I just want to give this little, you know, pitch to people who are trying to advertise on this podcast. If your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Sixers is listened to by 98% of men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at kepompey, that's P-O-M-P-E-Y, to find out how you can make or get some advertising here. But look, when you look at this game, you look at what went wrong. Or should I say, you look at what didn't go wrong. But see, you look at it right here. Turnovers. The Sixers had 28 turnovers that led to 39 points, as opposed to the Brooklyn Nets having 9 turnovers leading to 9 points. 3-point shooting. Now, granted, these turnovers were a season high for the Sixers. 28 was a season high. The previous season high was the 23 that they had at Toronto and lost. The Sixers only made four. They only made 4 3-pointers. They shot 4 for 20. The 4 made shots are the fewest 3-pointers the Sixers made all season. Now, Ben Simmons had 20 points, 12 rebounds, 4 steals. He tied a season low, 3 assists, and he had 5 turnovers, all in the first half. Now get this stat line. Joel Embiid had 16 points. He had a game-high 15 rebounds, right? He had 4 assists, 1 block, 5 turnovers, but he only attempted 8 shots. He shot 4 for 8 from the field and went 8 for 10 on the foul line. Now, if you want to know the reason why the Sixers lost, there's two. I mean, don't even like count the missed threes, which was bad. 28 turnovers that led to 39 points. And Joel Embiid, who looked like an MVP through the first 8 games, only gets 8 shot attempts. Only. I mean, right then and there, that's crazy. Right then and there lets you know why they lost. I mean, you got a guy like Joel. He needs to get more shots. I mean, and we're talking about a guy who's coming off of 39 points, 41 points, and 31 points scoring in his last 3 games. I mean, he averaged at least 23.6 shot attempts. I mean, he averaged 23.6 shot attempts in those 3 games. But on this night, he only gets 8? I mean, it was bad. It was times where, like, there was one play, for instance, where, you know, Embiid's posting up Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. It's Chester's own Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He's posting him up. Hollis-Jefferson is about 6'7". He's a, you know, he's like one of these hybrid power forwards. He can't stop Embiid. Markelle Fultz comes down and airballs a 3. Instead of giving Embiid the ball. So it was just one of those nights where guys weren't following the plan. I mean, Embiid is the process. People tell us they want you to trust the process. Well, they didn't need to do a better job of feeding the process. Right? Another thing. And I hate to lay blame on him. But there's a trend here. And this tells you how important a guy is. The Sixers tend to do well when Robert Covington plays well. When Rocco doesn't show up, the Sixers often play poorly. Covington had 4 points on 1-for-5 shooting. He was 0-for-3 on threes. He had 5 rebounds and 5 turnovers. Now, I'm not blaming him for the loss, but what I am saying is that the Sixers typically play well when he plays well, and there's not so much. They don't look as good when he doesn't, and he's struggling. But hey, y'all, I want to talk to you about why and what, you know, I want to talk to you in the second segment about, you know, why some of my friends felt like the Sixers were going to lose this game. But before that, we need to get a couple words from our sponsors. Hey, y'all, thanks for you know, listening to these great advertisements. And again, I want to thank you guys for listening today. As I promised, I said, I want to tell y'all why some of my friends felt like the 76ers were going to lose beforehand. I thought they were crazy. I mean, I honestly thought they were crazy. I mean, like, come on, dude, they're going to play the Brooklyn Nets. Well, you know, as they mentioned to me, you know, the Sixers will tell you that their defense efficiency rating or whatever it is, I hate to say it, there's so many different, like, stats nowadays that it's just ridiculous. And some of them don't mean anything to me, I'm going to be honest with you, because there's so many stats and you can make them mean or back up whatever you're trying to say. Brett Brown, before the game, was saying that the Sixers are rated 7th in defense, a defensive category. And I'm not even going to go into it because it's crazy. Because, you know, you can give up a lot of points to one player, but if you hold another guy to another one, you know, like, say, let's just say example, Embiid could get 41. But if J.J. Redick gets 8, it helps you as far as with your defense. So you can give up a lot to one guy, but you don't give up to another. I ain't got time for that. So anyway, but, you know, they want the Sixers will talk about the defense. Well, my buddies was like, come on, Keith. Kenny Atkinson has the Sixers playing like they used to play under Lloyd Pierce when he was here, the former defensive coordinator for the Sixers. Now, he was an assistant coach, but he ran the defense. Right now, Billy Lang runs it. And the guy pointed out how, under Lloyd, and we talked about this before, how the Sixers used to play hard. They were always, like, up in the opposing team's face. They were doing what they had to do. Well, he said Kenny Atkinson still does that with his team. And he felt one of my buddies in particular felt like, because of that, the Brooklyn Nets were going to come ready to play, and they were going to have a balanced attack offensively. And he also felt like they were going to just get physical and get up in the 76ers' face. And they were going to do stuff to him. Now, I don't know if the Sixers lost because of the physicality of the game. But I will say that they did not match the Brooklyn Nets' intensity whatsoever. I mean, you look at it. As my friend rightfully pointed out, the Sixers played on Saturday, a 1 o'clock game, and defeated the Detroit Pistons, a team that they lost to a couple weeks earlier, in overtime. That first game, Blake Griffin had 50 against the Sixers. The second game, Joel Embiid was straight beast mode over Andre Drummond, destroying him, clowning him. The crowd was electric, the whole nine. The Sixers hop on the train around 5 o'clock on Saturday. They come to New York. They expect that because the way they played the night before and because the Brooklyn Nets came into the game with a 3-6 record, they were going to win basically by showing up. The Sixers lack focus, basically. Now, I don't know what happened the night before. I don't know if guys were like, hey, it's a night off, or if guys just went to bed early or whatever. I don't know. But all I know is they did not look like the same team that beat the Detroit Pistons 109-99. A friend of mine said that this was going to be a tough one for them. Coming after having an emotional win at home, having to go to New York on the road, and play the next day, especially coming off an afternoon game when you have more downtime, was going to be tough for the 76ers. Me, personally, I said, nah, bruh. Sixers going to get this one. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, I mean, come on. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, the kid from Chester, destroyed the Sixers. My man came off the bench, made 9 of 14 shots. I mean, this guy we talking about that was posting up, that Embiid was posting up, right? He made 9 of 14 shots, get 21 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Now get this, his plus minus was a plus 27. D'Angelo Russell had 21 points as the starting point guard. Caris LeVert had 20 points. Jared Allen had 15 points and 10 rebounds and 2 blocks. Joe Harris had 11 points while making 3 or 4 threes. Spencer Dinwiddie came off the bench and gave the Sixers 12. So when you look at it from an intensity standpoint, the Sixers, I don't know if they lack focus or whatever, but they couldn't match it. And they really couldn't match it in the third quarter where the Nets outscored them 41-28. You know, early on, the Nets just weren't making, they weren't making shots. But in the third quarter, they turned everything around. And the Sixers just looked like a team that didn't have a chance at all to lose. Well, look, y'all, like I said, in the third segment, we're going to talk about the Indiana Pacers and what the Sixers need to do. But before that, how about two more words from our sponsors? Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to the sponsorship and welcome back.
Rock is the feel-good movie of the year.
Come in, don't smoke.
Hey, sorry, I didn't mean to have three. I didn't mean to have three sponsors. But look, the Sixers head to Indiana where the Pacers have a 7-3 record. The 3-1 at home. You know, they have an all-star in Victor Oladipo. You know, Victor is averaging 25.7 points per game. He's averaging 7.3 rebounds, 4.3 assists, 1.7 steals. He's doing all that in 33.4 minutes, right? Now, the guy that I think the Sixers really have to pay attention to is Miles Turner. You know, Miles Turner is a guy, unlike Andre Drummond, who Joel Embiid owns real estate in Drummond's head, as Embiid says. He doesn't do that to Miles Turner. Miles Turner basically goes toe-to-toe with Embiid. This center is averaging 2.2 points. He's 12.2 points. He's averaging just 5.2 rebounds. But he's averaging 2.4 blocks per game. Now, he's playing 27.2 minutes a game, right? But I'm here to tell you, it's going to be a tough matchup for Embiid. Embiid is going to have to be ready. Now, here's the thing that separates Miles from others. Miles can hit the three. He can go out, he's pretty good in the perimeter. And in the past, there were times where Embiid would lose him. Embiid wouldn't, like, you know, he would, like, lose track of him. And next thing you know, Turner's in the perimeter hitting buckets. And as much as Embiid would go at him, he would come back at him. Now, here's my concern for the Sixers. The Sixers have this new defense where they want to tell us that it's one of the best defenses in the league per one of 8 million defensive categories out there. I get it. You got to promote it. But we all know that the Sixers' new defense is all about Embiid staying underneath, staying like near the rim, being a rim protector, and other guys going out there protecting the, you know, the perimeter. Like if Turner leaves and goes out to the perimeter, somebody else, maybe Dario Saric, Robert Covington, someone other than Embiid is supposed to go out there and defend that guy. The only problem with that is the communication isn't always there. It's not always like there. I mean, so there will be times where the player who Embiid was defending in the block is left wide open. And then we also know that the communication isn't just between Embiid and the other person, that typically on the guards. So you have to know where Victor Oladipo is at all times. You have to know where Bojan Bogdanović is at all times. So saying that, the Sixers defense has to be playing great. It has to arguably play one of his best games of the season. Now, I know that the Sixers are 6-5. This team is 7-3. You know, you can argue that some people may say, well, right now this team isn't in the upper echelon of teams in the East. But I'm here to tell you, they had the Sixers number in a way last year. I mean, they won the season series. And truth be told, the Sixers did not want to meet them in the playoffs. And they're going to Indiana, a place where the Sixers have a tough time playing. But hey, I want to thank y'all for listening to this week's today's podcast, and have a great day.
Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Every day.